Revolting People by Andy Hamilton and Jay Tarsis, with Jay Tarsis, James Fleet, Hugh Dennis, Tony Maudsley, Jan Ravens, Penelope Nice, and Andy Hamilton.
And what month is it?
February.
And the year?
1774.
Oh, yes. Fine, I'll keep thinking it's 1773. Do you ever do that? Forget what year it is?
No, but then I don't drink 3 quarts of brandy a day.
Look, a one-legged, one-armed, one-eyed British soldier has to drink, Sam. A drink to numb the pain of being in Baltimore, imprisoned in this sniper-filled, rebel-infested, stinking, hateful, godforsaken hellhole you call home. No offense.
None taken, you insensitive pig.
Sounds like Captain Brimshaw and your daughter are having a fine old time upstairs, Sam.
Yeah, I know.
Are you planning to step in and stop their frolicking?
Only if it turns rhythmic. Now, draw the line there. If they want to do that stuff, they can go to the churchyard and do it behind a gravestone like any normal young couple.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, or inside the church on the altar. Why are you looking at me like that?
On the altar?
Yeah. I mean, not during a service, obviously, no. No, that would be disrespectful, as was once pointed out to me.
Good day to you, sirs. I'm looking for the shop of one Samuel Oliphant.
Ah, then you've come to the right place, sir.
My name, sirs, is Lord Brimshaw.
Brimshaw?
No doubt my fame goes before me.
Indeed it does, my lord. You're Lord Brimshaw, trusted confidant to His Majesty King George, until recently as administrator in Ireland, where, if I may say so, your rule was exemplary.
Well...
Yes, it was. Now, don't be modest. I mean, yes, it was a shame about the massacre, but if you ask me, they bought it on themselves, didn't they? And that's for the famine. Well, the Irish are always having them, aren't they? They're incorrigible.
That is a most astute analysis, Sergeant.
McGurk.
McGurk. Sir,
yeah.
You seem familiar to me. Have we met?
No, sir. Although I believe you did once court-martial my twin brother. after a misunderstanding over some regimental funds.
Ah, yes, I remember now. Lord, he was a rogue. Do you ever hear from him?
No, sir, and I don't want to. The man brought shame on our family.
Yeah, Sergeant has quite a few twin brothers who've brought shame on his family. Now then, how can we assist you, Lord Brimshaw? Would you like to buy something?
I'm looking for my son, Walter, who I understand is billeted here.
He's upstairs.
With my daughter, Mary.
Oh, yes. Higher. Higher. Oh, yes, Walter.
Oh, she's bidding higher. They're playing cards.
Yes. Yes.
I think she's pleased with her hand.
Playing cards.
Yeah, sounds like poker.
McGurk. Perhaps you'd like to go and fetch the captain, and maybe you'd like to whistle loudly on your way up the stairs.
Oh, I get you. Yeah, give him time to...
I just like the way you whistle, Sergeant. It's very melodious. Now go tell the captain his father is here while I converse with Lord Brimshaw.
Aye, aye.
But his whistling has no melody whatsoever.
Yeah, it's known as modern whistling. So, have you heard about our cheese museum?
No.
Well, we don't have one. But a lot of us are lobbying for one because we think it'd be a natural adjunct to the Biscuit Museum, which so far hasn't been the success that everyone was hoping for.
Father, what a delightful surprise. I wasn't expecting you.
So I see. You've got your breeches on backwards.
Do I?
Well, that's the fashion in these parts, sir. It's the colonial look.
Doesn't surprise me. These damn colonials are a contrary bunch.
We have much to be contrary about.
Who is this woman? And why is she allowed to speak out of turn?
My name is Mary Oliphant, and I can speak when I choose.
I think you're wrong there.
Father, I must ask you to show some respect to Mary, for she is the woman...
Why have you not replied to my letter?
Your letter? Well,
Yes, my letter ordering you to return to England to marry your cousin, Emily.
Marry his cousin?
We're aristocrats, it's normal. Only by breeding amongst ourselves can we remain pure, strong and healthy. It's what made the royal family what it is today.
That's right, and it's been the making of Norfolk.
I didn't reply to your letter because I won't be marrying my cousin Emily.
Why not?
Because I don't want to.
Don't want to? What's that got to do with anything? Do you think I wanted to marry your mother? Good God, she's got a face that can stop a clock. But she was my cousin and I was betrothed to her, just as you and your cousin Emily were betrothed when you were aged 9.
But Father, I love Mary and I want to be with her.
Of course you do, I understand. And she will make a fine mistress.
I am not prepared to be his mistress.
Yeah. You see, son, she's the snooty sort. You'll be well shot of her. Come, boy. I've cleared it with your commanding officer. The ship is waiting. And Emily is looking forward to seeing you, I'm sure.
But you brought Emily with you?
Come see her, Walter. She's grown into a pretty little thing.
Women are not things.
Wrong again, I'm afraid.
Does Emily want to marry me?
Well, how would I know? Nobody's asked her.
You can't just ignore a woman's wishes.
She doesn't give up, does she?
Where is this Emily?
I told her to wait outside.
What, like a dog?
Yes, correct. Well done. You got there in the end.
Being a big important lord means you can just tell everyone what to do, don't you?
Well, experience would seem to suggest that.
Well, you and your despotic, autocratic kind are doomed, you hear? Your days are numbered, and do you want to know why? Well, I'm going to tell you why.
Are you?
Oh, yes.
Right, well, then I'm going to pull up a chair.
Yeah, I'm going to lie down.
Hello, birds. Hello, clouds. Hello, girl with parasol.
Hello. Please don't stop what you're doing on my account. What are you doing?
I'm staring at the sky. I like staring at the sky.
Why?
Because it's so much bigger than me.
It's about the only thing that is, though, isn't it? My name is Emily.
Mine's... No, wait. It'll come. Joshua!
I wish I was big, but alas, I am small, feminine, and demure, which means I have to sit quietly in parlours and embroider as I listen to lots of idle gossip about handsome soldiers who are staying at the vicarage.
That sounds exciting.
Does it?
Yeah, but then everything sounds exciting to me. It's the advantage of being stupid.
Well, I'm afraid it's actually rather tedious. In fact, sometimes as I embroider and listen to the ladies chatter, I think about how pleasant it would be if I could just go on a killing spree and butcher all of them in their sleep. But then I stop being silly and play the harpsichord. You have deep, sensitive eyes.
Do you want to see me wrestle a bear?
Oh, gosh, yes. That sounds terribly exciting.
There's a grizzly lives just on the other side of that ridge. He loves to wrestle me. Come on, I'll show you.
But, oh, dear.
What?
Well, I'm worried because, well, it's such a warm day. Do you think it's wise for you to wrestle a bear without taking your shirt off?
What?
I think you should take your shirt off.
Well, I...
No, I really think you should take your shirt off. Now.
And I'll tell you one last thing, Lord Hoity-Toity, nose in the air, no chin and big ears, Brimshaw. The flame of liberty is going to engulf you and free us from your tyranny. And then all of us, regardless of class or status, will be free to love whomsoever we choose.
Impressive speech.
Wasn't it just? 47 minutes. Including 5 usages of the word whomsoever.
Mary is a magnificent orator.
She's also a rebellious traitor. Arrest her, Walter.
I shall not. She was merely expressing her views, which, as a subject of King George, she has a right to do.
She's bewitched you, boy! Snap out of it! Ah, Emily.
Uncle.
How very timely. Good grief. Who is this giant?
This is the man I love.
What?
His name is Joshua. He's gentle and kind, and he's just whipped a bear.
But... He's a freak.
That's my brother you're talking about.
He's abnormally huge.
He is not. He's just big-boned, that's all.
Come on, he must be the most gargantuan person in the Americas.
Oh, no, you're wrong there. No, there's a woman who lives just outside Buffalo who's bigger than him.
There is?
Yeah, 9 foot tall, easy, Daisy Lightwits. Nice woman. I went out with her for a while.
You went out with a 9 foot tall woman?
We were pretty serious, actually, but it didn't last. I mean, somehow the relationship was never the same after I sold it to the circus. You know, that seemed to upset her. You know, she kept saying I should have mentioned it, but...
Can me and Emily get married now, Father? Only being married sounds like fun.
Oh, God, he's a moron as well.
He's not a moron. He's small-brained.
Yes, well, he's not marrying Emily. She's marrying Walter.
I won't do it.
Neither will I.
I will not brook such disobedience in front of colonials. It's unbrookable, madam. And as for you, Walter, you shall either obey me or I shall disinherit you forever. The ship sails in 24 hours. You have until then to come to your senses. 24 hours between you... An abject penury.
Well, he makes a good exit.
Oh, Walter, you are magnificent. The way you defied your father and defended my honor. Let's go upstairs.
No, Mary, no.
Relax, Samuel. They're young. There's no harm in it.
Oh, I suppose you're right.
Unless he impregnates her with his bastard child, of course. Then there's harm, you know.
Father, can we discuss my wedding arrangements?
Yeah, actually, son, I'm not sure if you and Emily are the...
Oh, I love Emily.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe in love at first sight?
Well, I'm not sure if
Emily does. She says the people who don't believe in it are cynics, and that sometimes when she's doing her embroidery, she imagines all the cynics having their livers torn out by giant metal birds.
Does she? Well, that's...
Can we have jugglers at the wedding, Father? Please? Please?
Well, son, you see, I'm just not sure it's realistic to
Why? Are jugglers expensive?
No, it's not the expense...
Well, one juggler, then, with one ball.
Joshua, will you just...
Leave it with me, Father. I'm going into town right now to track one down and book him. Goodbye, Father. Oh, I'm so lucky.
Well, he's in high spirits.
Yeah, I guess some trees will get pushed over tonight. It's absurd, isn't it? He can't get married. They only met an hour ago. Why me? Why did I get saddled with such ridiculous, delusional children? What did I do to deserve that?
Yeah, are you going to talk about the terrible hand that life has dealt you?
Yes.
Then hang on while I pull up a chair.
Good evening, gentlemen.
We have this thing called knocking. It may not have caught on in your part.
Knocking is not necessary for someone to whom no door is closed. I need to talk to you two, whom I take to be men of the world. I can tell, Sergeant, that you are a man of experience from the fact that so many of your limbs are missing. And you, shopkeeper, have the round-shouldered hangdog demeanor of a man who's played the game of life and lost. Heavily.
Yeah, well, in my opinion...
Your opinion is of no interest to me. You are of no interest to me, but your relatives sadly are. Your spitting hellcat of a daughter has some ludicrous hold over my idiot son. And your idiot son has won the affections of my niece. These associations bring nothing but shame on my family. So you will kindly instruct your offspring to desist from pursuing these absurd romances.
I shall do no such thing. The young people you talk of so dismissively happen to be in love, and love is a powerful thing.
True, but not as powerful as money. If you persuade your daughter to end her association with Walter, and similarly, if you end the relationship between my niece and the small-brained boy giant, I will pay you with a banker's draft for £50.
Do you think I'd sell the future happiness of my loved ones for £50? I'd never do that.
No, he would never do that, not even if you offered him £100.
Or £150.
Or £200.
Very well. I'll pay £200.
You're not listening. I said I would never do it. Besides, I don't need your money. I'm a man of independent financial means. I have my shop.
Your shop? Oh, I thought it was a museum.
A museum?
Yes, you know. The museum of empty shelves.
All right, that's it. Get out. Egress, you stuck-up, chinless, snotty piece of arrogant English. McGirt, give me a term of abuse.
A cat puke.
Cat puke, thank you. Get out, you piece of arrogant English. Cat puke. And don't come back. Cat puke?
He rushed me.
Can you believe that? I mean, who does he take me for? As if I'd contemplate breaking up my kids' relationships purely for the money. There's no way I'd interfere with the personal relationships of... What was that last figure?
£200.
Right.
Yep, £200, which is a lot of money in these days.
Well, what'd you say that for?
I'm just saying, that's all, that £200 here and now in the 1770s is a lot of money, because, you know, if someone living, say, 250 years in the future was listening to this conversation, they might think it didn't sound like a lot of money.
Why would anyone in the future want to listen to this conversation? I'm here now. I don't want to listen to it.
Well, I don't know. I just thought...
Have you been at the funny tobacco again?
No.
£200 was Lord Brimshaw's last figure, you say?
Yeah. Although I think he'd go to 250.
250?
Yeah, even more money in these days. I mean, that's like £30,000 in future money.
Will you
money,
just stop doing that?
Sorry.
250, you reckon? Not that I'm considering it. It'd be wrong. And it's not right to do wrong, right? It's right to do right, right? That can't be wrong. And even though I may possibly feel both relationships in the long term are almost certainly going to fail anyway, it's not my place to interfere.
No, of course it is. No.
Although...
Yes?
It does throw up an interesting ethical question, namely, whether accepting money to merely hasten the inevitable is morally acceptable. What do you think, Roy?
Let me think. Do you know, I have a feeling, just a vague memory, that the Old Testament says that accepting money to end foolish romances is morally justified.
I think I read that.
And I think Jesus said it was compulsory. It might have been the Sermon on the Mount or, you know.
All right, then here's another question for you. Which love-struck puppy should we start with?
You wanted to see me, Father?
Yes, son. Sit down. Don't worry, that was an old chair. And How you feeling, son?
Happy, father. I wouldn't trade this feeling for 1,000 pounds.
They should buy you a palace these days. I mean, that's...
Doing that.
Sorry.
Whenever I'm with Emily, I don't feel enormous and stupid anymore. I just feel all toasty.
Toasty?
And marmalade-y.
Well, Emily's what I want to talk to you about. You see, son, I don't think you're ready to have a relationship with...
Anyone.
Do you mind?
Why aren't I ready, father?
Well, for a start, you don't even know about the birds and the bees.
Oh, I know all about the birds and the bees. That's how babies get made.
Oh, you do know, right.
The bees grow the babies in their hive and then get the birds to deliver them to the mummy.
Right, see, it's a little inaccurate, son. You see, a baby's actually made...
Like this.
We can do without the diagram, thank you, McGurk. It's unhelpful and deeply disturbing. What the hell is that?
Oh, that's an arrangement of ropes and pulleys. Yeah, and that there is...
No, I don't want to know. Nobody does. Now, please, if you just stay out of this, I'd be most grateful. Now, Joshua, the thing is, you're right, son. You've turned pale.
I'm frightened, father.
You see what you've done with your revolting diagram? Now, don't worry, son. It's nothing to be afraid of.
Is that a rhinoceros?
It wasn't. McGurk's just very bad at drawing. Forget the diagram. Forget him. Just listen to me. Now, about Emily, I think you should stop seeing her.
I won't stop seeing her.
But, son...
I won't. I love Emily. And I love the way she makes me feel, all toasty and marmalade-y. And another feeling that I haven't got a name for yet, but it's itchy yet kind of nice all at the same time. So don't make me give all that up, or I won't ever eat again. Unless it's pie, because I like pie. But apart from that, nothing. And you won't be my father anymore.
Sensitively handled, Sam.
Well, I wasn't helped by your ignorant observations.
Well, ignorant?
You know nothing about affairs of the heart.
Listen, I've been there, all right? I know what it's like to have feelings for a woman.
What, before you sold her to the circus?
She loves it, all right? It's a great life. She gets fresh air, travel, and all the sauce she can swallow.
Why you're trying to steer me away from Walter, Father, and I don't know why McGurk is sitting in on such a personal conversation.
No, neither do I.
Oh, I'm just listening out for any valid points that your father might have omitted, miss.
Valid points?
Yes, like the valid point about what she's going to do when the war comes.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know. So, Mary, what are you going to do when the war comes, huh?
What are you talking about?
Well, will you go with Brimshaw to England and live in his world, surrounded by people called Percy and Archibald and... Wading knee-deep in trifle and...
Don't be ridiculous, Father. I shall be here, fighting for freedom.
And what will you shout as you lead the charge? Death to all redcoats apart from the one on the Andes, my boyfriend? Won't work.
And your father's not the only one who thinks that.
I'm not? Oh, no, I'm not. Benjamin Franklin has written you this letter here.
Dear Mary, great news. The revolution is almost here, and you are going to play a pivotal role. Obviously, to be a great revolutionary leader, you must demonstrate your commitment by ending any romantic entanglements. Just thought I'd mention it. Yours, Benjamin Franklin. P.S. Stay away from lightning. It smarts.
It was nice of him to take the trouble to write, wasn't it? I mean, what with his busy schedule and all.
You wrote this, Father.
Don't be silly. How would I know about the lightning?
I don't believe this. You have allowed yourself to be intimidated by that repugnant Lord Brimshaw. Well, I'm not scared of him.
No? Well, then you should be. He's a rich and powerful man who can buy people.
Only weak, greedy people.
Not necessarily. He can probably also buy people who mean well but can't turn down that sort of money.
What?
He's generalizing, miss.
That's all I was doing. I was being specific.
Yeah, no specificity.
Not at all.
Intended.
Not at all.
Why are you trying to turn me against my own heart? I don't understand why you're doing this. It's unkind and it's immoral.
Please sit down, Walter. I just wanted to have a little chat about you and Mary.
I won't give her up, Sam. Never. Not even if King George himself wrote ordering me to do so.
Okay. It's a waste of ink.
What?
Nothing. When do you think the war is going to start?
The war?
Yeah, there's going to be a war soon, isn't there?
Well, it's a possibility.
Uh-huh. And who do you think will win this war?
We British, of course. We are the only global superpower, whereas America is basically just Cornwall with Indians.
So when this British victory arrives, what do you think Mary will do? A, join rebel militias in the hills and fight to her last breath? Or B, shrug her shoulders and say, well played, you Brits.
Most likely A, I'd say.
Uh-huh. And if there are rebel militia in the hills, do you think the British Army will A, leave them alone, or B, hunt them down like dogs?
Probably B.
Mm-hmm. And when Mary's being hunted down, will you A, join in the hunt, or B, try to help her?
B.
And when the Army charge you with treason, will you A, be put up against the wall and shot, or B, just shot with no wall in the vicinity?
There's never a C, is there?
No, because this is an A or B kind of situation. You and Mary are from entirely different worlds.
But I love her, Sam.
Which is why you must end it now, before it ends in tears, not to mention that hail of bullets.
Oh, perhaps you're right.
I am right, Walter. Go home. Go home with your father. Set sail for the land where you belong, to the sunny grassy forests of Kentfordshire, with its toasted cream teas and Morris dancing crumpet eaters. Standing guard outside St. Buckingham's Cathedral as urchin chimney sweeps play cricket on the River of Thames.
You've not been to England, have you, Sam?
No, but it sounds really quaint.
If I decided to go home, how could I break the news to Mary?
By post from England.
Oh, I suppose you're right. Fate is stacked against our love.
Oh, like crazy.
This is a sad day, Samuel.
Yes, I know, Captain.
I've had happy times here under your roof.
Same here, Walter.
I'll always think of you and smile, Samuel. Will you think of me and smile?
Don't push it.
Sorry.
I'm afraid I don't understand, Sergeant. Why do you want me to stop seeing Joshua?
Well, because Joshua's a heartbreaker, miss.
Heartbreaker?
Yes, miss, a Lothario, a philanderer. In short, he puts it about.
Are you sure?
Believe me, he has broken the heart of every girl in Baltimore, half the girls in Philadelphia, and quite a few in Canada.
Canada?
Oh, I told you, he puts it about. Yeah, we've had to confiscate his canoe.
I find all this very hard to believe. He seems not at all worldly. He thinks babies are grown in beehives.
Oh, I see. He used his old simpleton routine on you, did he? Did he do the old putting the squirrel down his pants and asking you to get it out number?
No.
Then I got to you just the nick of time.
I find all this hard to believe.
Really, which part? Because the squirrel thing, I might have got that a bit wrong. Yeah.
You say he's cavorted with all the girls in Baltimore?
All of them, and not just the girls, either.
Pardon me?
Well, I don't want to be indelicate, miss, but let's just say he likes the company of men who are very sensitive and tend to wave their hands around a little more than is strictly necessary.
I'm sorry, Sergeant. I still don't understand what you're getting at.
Allow me to draw you a diagram.
Good evening, McGurk.
How did you know I was approaching? I hadn't even come through the door.
No, but the smell of you had.
I've been celebrating.
Well, so have I, because without your help and using only the force of moral argument, I've persuaded the captain to give Mary up. So that only leaves Joshua's romance.
It's already terminated. I've persuaded Miss Emily that their relationship had no future. Just think, Sam, with both romances successfully spiked, that money is ours.
Captain, I thought you were being reconciled with your father.
Well, that was my intention, but before I could tell him that I was giving up Mary to marry Emily, he disinherited me.
Disinherited you?
Yes, on the grounds that I'm a practitioner in the ways of Sodom.
Who told him that?
Emily. Apparently, I was on a list of Joshua's special friends that someone gave her. Well, I tried to tell my father that it was all absurd, but he just kept remarking on how much I was waving my arms around. Kept on and on and on about it.
Before you had this altercation with your father, he didn't mention a banker's draft by any chance, did he?
He was tearing one up as I left. Then he threw the pieces on the fire.
Did Emily say who told her this vicious lie?
No. She just kept staring at this diagram.
Diagram?
Who would do that? What sort of spiteful person would slander Joshua and I like that?
I don't know. What do you think, McGurk? What sort of person would do that? What sort of lying, interfering idiot would do something like that?
Well, I expect he meant well. Perhaps he was just trying to help out a friend.
Or perhaps he's the kind of odious git who likes to pretend that he's helping a friend, but is just out to line his lice-infested pockets and ends up screwing things up so much that no one gets any money at all, thanks to the little bastard's greed and stupidity. For example.
Well, I don't know who you're referring to, Sam, but he sounds like the sort of bloke who might push your teeth down your throat if you talk about him like that.
Well, we'll never know who this mysterious troublemaker was. Still, I must go and tell Mary the good news that we can continue our romance. Even if I've been branded a sodomite. Which, incidentally, is a much more stigmatic label than it will be, say, at the beginning of the 21st century.
Another one with a crystal ball.
No, I think that's just the way he walks.
Father, tragic news. My beloved Emily has set sail for England. And it's all because my name has been blackened. How have I been blackened, Father?
Well, it's not easy to explain, son.
I'm going
to
do something adolescent. I'm going to carve Emily's name on my forehead with this hunting knife. Starts with an M, right?
No, son, please.
Listen, Sam, this is all my fault. I feel terrible. I shouldn't have interfered. Yeah, let me handle it.
Well, that's very decent of you.
No, not at all. This is my responsibility.
Well, all right, Joshua, I'm just going to step outside. Sergeant McGurk's got something important he has to tell you.
Right, well, this isn't easy, Joshua. So, actually, could you put down that knife? Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, the thing is, Emily left you because somebody started a horrible, untrue rumor about you.
What?
Which was unforgivable, and that person hopes you'll forgive him.
Well, I won't.
Well, maybe in time, eh? Anyway, you have a right to know that the man who spread these awful lies about you was your father.